We are approaching Kabbalah's HaTorah Chag HaShavuos. I felt it would be appropriate to discuss a matter related to Torah and Kabbalah's HaTorah, the learning of Torah, to break away from our usual theme of discussing the Parsha. And instead, we're going to discuss something related to Talmud Torah. And that is the practice, or the unfortunate practice, of citing or not citing sources. That what does the Torah say about plagiarism when it comes specifically to Divrei Torah, when it comes to saying a vart, an idea that you did not say yourself, but you want other people to think you said yourself? What does the Torah have to say about such a practice? We'll just begin with the story. A Maggid once came for Shabbos to the city of Frankfurt, and it was Parsha Shofsim. And the rabbi of Frankfurt at that time was the author of the Prima Gadim, Rav Yosef Tumim. So the Prima Gadim came to listen to the drasha of this darshan over the course of Shabbos. And every single thing that this Maggid said, that this speaker said, was taken from previous darshanim, older speakers, other svarim. And this speaker passed all these ideas off as his own Chidushei Torah. And at the end of the drasha, the Prima Gadim went over to the speaker and he said, I also have a drasha I'd like to share from next week's Parsha and Parsha Shoftim. The Torah says regarding investigating someone who's accused of worshipping Avodah Zarah, V'higed lecha v'shamata v'darashta hetev, that if you hear a nice chiddush, you hear v'shamata, you hear something interesting, and you want to say that over to other people, v'darashta hetev, you want to say that drasha as well, so what you might say will be correct. V'hinei emes nachon hadavar. What you're saying is true. You heard a drasha from somebody else, and you want to say that drasha over to somebody else, and it's emes. It's 100% true. However, nazasa ha-toeva zos b'Yisrael. But since you didn't cite your sources, and you didn't give credit where it was due, you made a toeva, you made an abomination amongst the Jewish people. And that's how the Prima Gadim said goodbye to this darshan. The importance of citing our sources when it comes to Divrei Torah. The Gemara in Becharos Daf Lamed Aleph relates that Rav Sheshes was upset with his shamish, his attendant, for not relating his teachings in his name. And the Gemara explains that Rav Sheshes wanted to have the merit of Divrei Torah being related in his name, because, as Rav Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, when one relates Divrei Torah in the name of the one who originally taught them, the original source of the teachings will merit Sifasav Dovavos Bekever, that his lips will move in the grave, and it's considered as if he's still alive, and it's considered as though he himself is still teaching Torah. And the Gemara Menachos Sadi Gimel Amabez relates a similar issue with Reish Lakish as well, and this is the idea that we want to discuss going forward, the issue of citing our sources. Now, just two comments. I would say to look in the Hakadama of the Shmona Prakim of the Rambam, and also the Hakadama of the Chizkuni, where both great Mefarshim note that they're telling you from the outset that they will be quoting anonymously so that people will judge the content and not the source of the content. If the author tells you, I'm quoting anonymously, but I'm not telling you who, so then that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about passing off something as your own. We're also not talking about the issue of censoring or saying somebody did say something when they didn't, or misquoting somebody because you didn't like the person who said it. That is discussed in Professor Mark Shapiro's Changing the Immutable, where he talks about censorship and covering up different gedolim in Jewish history. What we want to talk about is simply good old-fashioned saying a Devar Torah, saying a shir that you heard from somebody else without quoting the source of that shir. The Abarbanel in Shmos in chapter 19 chastises the Ramban for not citing the Pshat of the Ibn Ezra on the pasuk of V'kol HaShofar Holech V'Chazak Ma'od by Har Sinai, and instead only citing him as Yesh Mefarshim. Why wouldn't he say his name? The Manas Halevi, Rosh Shlomo Halevi Alkabetz, in his famous work on Megillas Esther, in his introduction discusses those people who take Divrei Torah and make it as if it is their own. And unfortunately, there are people in the world nowadays who take Divrei Torah of others and make it as their own. What is the halacha regarding this issue? Now, obviously I want to do the same myself. a number of these sources, a number of these discussions are found in the Tshuvas Ohel Moshe Chelek Aleph and Simen Mem Aleph of Rav Moshe Zweig, who discusses many of these points, or as does the Sefer Emek HaMishpat in Chelek Dal. They say much of what we're going to say, but we're going to add in addition to what they're trying to say as well. The Rama writes in Choshen Mishpat, in Simen Reish Sadi Beis, in Sif Chaf, and he cites the Mordechai in Bav Metzia, who says that a shomer, a guardian, who's holding on to Svarim of someone else, is allowed to use the Svarim that are left with him. If somebody leaves Svarim by your house, you're allowed to learn them. Now, it is understood that if you leave Svarim with a Talmud Chacham, that he's going to want to use it, and it's understood he can use it. The Mordechai then continues, but this point of the Mordechai is not brought by the Rama, that the Medrash in Mishlei says, the Pasuk in Mishlei in Perek Vav says, Lo yavuzu leganav ki yignov lemale nafsho ki yirav. Don't despise a thief, it says. And the Medrash explains, She'ein levazos mi shegonev divrei Torah o ma'askin mi sefer mitzvos. Don't despise somebody who steals divrei Torah, who takes your vart, who takes your idea. And the Medrash seems to say it's okay. Now, the Sma, there on the Rama, asks, what if the owner of the sefer says, I don't want the guardian, the shomer, using my sefer? So if it's because a daita dehachi hifkid etzlo, that it's understood that he wants people to use his sfarim, then it is this place that he has shown that he doesn't agree for people to use his sfarim. If we assume you're allowed to use a person's sefer without their permission because people like it when you use their sfarim, well, if I say I don't want you to use my sefer, then you're not allowed to. If you have a chumash or a sitter in your talis bag in shul, and somebody wants to come in and borrow because they need a chumash or a sitter, and you write in it, please do not use without my permission, then you can't use it, because you expressly stated that you don't want people using it. According, however, to the reason of the Medrash in Mishlei, it doesn't matter if the owner says not to use the sefer. And the halacha, the sma says that you cannot use the sefer if the owner objects because the Rama doesn't cite this reason, where the Medrash says you're allowed to use stolen divrei Torah. And the Mordechai only writes Shema Hatam, perhaps that is the reason. And the Shach says that there is no Tzad Lahakel if the owner says not to use the Sefer. So apparently, we don't paskin like the opinion of the Medrash that says that stolen divrei Torah are allowed. Now the son of the Nodeb Yehuda, in his Avas Tzion, in the ninth Drasha, writes that his father objected against people who steal Divrei Torah. And he says that those people who use the Rama and the Mordechai as their Hetzer don't understand that they're only writing about the Sefer itself. But there's no Hetzer to take Divrei Torah from other people. And that is certainly not allowed at the end of the day. Okay. Now, The Yad HaMelech was the rabbi in the city of Brud, where Rav Shlomo Kluger was the Magid. He was the Darshan of Brud. They argued a lot, so much to the extent that Rav Shlomo Kluger wrote a whole sefer called Sefer Shevei Naim, to which was only arguments against the Yad HaMelech. It was everything he thought he did wrong. And this author, the Yad HaMelech, happened to be the nephew of the Nodeb Yehuda. In his Kuntras Ha'aros, where he argues with the Psak of the Yad HaMelech, he says that the Yad HaMelech said that you could steal Divrei Torah based on that Ramah. And Rav Shlomo Kluger argues and says that's not correct. The Ramah is not telling you you're allowed to steal Divrei Torah. The Ramah is saying you can use a book, but you can't steal someone's Divrei Torah and not cite them. However, personally, I find it difficult to believe that the grandson of the Nodeb Yehuda said such a thing when we know that his family was so against this practice. It's also unlikely the Yad HaMelech would ever have to rely on taking somebody else's Divrei Torah. He was a fine Talmid Chacham by himself. Now, if we agree that it's wrong, it's usher to steal somebody else's Divrei Torah as if it's your own, then what's the Isser? What Pasuk are you violating when you say a Divrei Torah without citing your source? So the Machane Chaim writes in Choshen Mishpat and Chelek Beis, he discusses a sofer who stole Divrei Torah from a Talmid Chacham and published it as his own. Unfortunately, this does happen. Does this make the sofer puzzle? Can you not buy his Sifrei Torah? So he cites the Sifri in Parshas Shoftim. read you what the Sifri says. The Sifri says, "Minayin lamachlech divrei Rabbi Yezer bedivrei Rabbi Yeshua, bedivrei Yeshua bedivrei Rabbi Yezer." How do I know if I mistakenly say that Rabbi Yezer said something was really Rabbi Yeshua, or vice versa? Ulomer al tamei tahor al tahor tamei shuover belosa say talmud lomar lo sasig gvul reyacha. There's a prohibition of not encroaching on somebody else's property. When I quote a Dvar Torah in your name, without citing you, I'm encroaching on your property. And it's an extension of that. It must be a Kal v'chomer, that it's usher to take Divrei Torah that belong to others and present it as your own. Why did they choose exactly Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi, why Rabbi Eliezer? Why did they say Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi? Why did they say Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan? Why Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua? Because the halacha is never like Rabbi Eliezer. Because Shamutihu, he learned in the base measures of Shammai. And we never follow Rabbi Eliezer. And therefore, if you switch Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, you're being megala panim shlo kahalacha. You are paskening incorrectly because the halacha is never like Rabbi Eliezer. If that's the case, then this is not about stealing Divrei Torah. This is simply about paskening wrong and misrepresenting the proper opinion. So the Machane Achaim explains that based on the Gemara Sanhedrin and tests, that a guy who learns Torah is chayiv misa. You're not a guy who learns Torah. A non-Jew learns Torah is chayiv misa. Why? Because it says Torah tzivalanu Moshe, Marasha kilas Yaakov. The Torah is an inheritance for us and not for them. But where do we see that a non-Jew who learns Torah is chayiv misa? That's not one of the Sheva Mitzvos of Noach. We know the seven Noahide laws. I'm pretty sure that stealing, you know, that learning Torah is not one of them. So the answer is because it's gzela, it's stealing. So we see that there is gzela when it comes to Divrei Torah. We see that when a non-Jew learns Torah, he's stealing the Torah. He's taking something that's not his from the Jewish people. So we see that there's a concept of stealing in the realm of Divrei Torah. And the Shla writes in Masach HaShvuas, Yoser gzela mi gzela smamon. It's worse to steal Torah than it is to steal money. So that's approach number one. It is outright stealing. The Maram Shikun is Shuvas in Yeradein Simen Kufnin Vav writes to the Machane Chaim, and he says, no, I think you're wrong. He says, there's no gzela, since there's no object, or davar mamish. What am I stealing over here? There's nothing to take. Rather, it's gnevas das. It is misleading, which is an extension of midvar shekar tirchak, to lie. So it's lying. That's approach number two. Three is the B'nei Yisasra. The B'nei Yisasra writes in his Derech Pikudecha, on the halach of kidnapping. And he says that the Bnei Yisachar divides his work, Derech Pekudecha, into Machshava, Dibur, and Maisa. He talks about the thought, the speech of the mitzvah, the thought of the mitzvah, and the actions of the mitzvah. So he says that it's a fulfillment of kidnapping when you take someone's Dvar Torah. You're using your speech to kidnap them. The nefesh and the neshama, the very being of a person, is their Divrei Torah. And when you take it from them without citing a source and you make it as your own, you are kidnapping their essence. Ooh, that is certainly very harsh. The fourth approach is the Magen Avraham. The famous Magen Avraham in Siman Kufnun Vav, this very long Magen Avraham, where he lists all the things he thought the Shulchan Aruch forgot to talk about. So he says, Kol she'eno davar b'shem omro over balav. Whoever does not quote somebody in their name properly, they violate an Isser. Now, the Gemara in Nida has a big discussion about the color brown when it comes to looking at Maros. So Rav Yaakov Emden, in his Sheilas Leivitz, in his Tshuvas, is very lenient about the color brown. And the Sidrei Tahara, in Siman Kuf Peches, the Sidrei Tahara is one of the pillars of learning Hilchos Nida. So he writes, Matsasi Kosov, I saw it written that Dama Notzel Tzeva brown, Beloshon Ashkenaz, is not a problem. That I saw that brown blood is not a problem. Why does he write, Matsasi Kosov, I saw it written? So the Chachmas Betzalel on the Gemara Nida Daf Yates says that the Sefer being quoted is Rav Yaakov Emden. Why didn't the Sidrei Tahara quote Rav Yaakov Emden by name? Because he didn't want to get involved in the great debates between Rav Yaakov Emden and Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz. So he said, I saw it written. Because he didn't want to get involved in that whole machlokas. So we see there's this concept of kola omer davar b'shem omro, that you have to quote your sources. And the source that the Magen Avraham says that you have to quote your source is the first parak of Nedarim. Okay? I'll challenge you, though. Because if you open up the first parak of Nedarim, you will not find it anywhere saying that you need to cite your source. That it's kola over davar b'shem omro over balav. It doesn't say that anywhere in Nedarim. And I didn't point that out. Rabbi Akiva Eger points that out. The Shari Tshuva points it out. The Machatzis HaShekel points it out. It does not say anywhere in Nedarim that you usher to not quite cite your sources. The Nodi B'Yehudin or Achayim Adura Tenyana in Simen Chaf all note that there is no such source in Nedarim. Rather, it is a Medrash Tanchum in Parshas Bamidbar in Simen Chav Zayin, this week's Parsha, so we have two connections to what's going on. So the Medrash says, Lo Sigzol Dal Kidal Hu. It's referring to, you shouldn't steal from the poor. So the Medrash says, Eino Mevi Davar B'Shem Omro. To not steal from the poor means also not stealing somebody's Dvar Torah. If not citing your source and only saying Shamati is a problem, then certainly passing something off as your own is a problem as well. And that's the understanding of these Mefarshim. Now, fascinating, in the Hagos of Rav Yishaya Pick on the Nodes of Yehuda, he notes that the Magen Avraham got his source from the Shla. We know that the Shla, Rav Yishaya Levi Horowitz's work, is a major source of the Magen Avraham. In fact, the Magen Avraham kind of brought the Shla into mainstream halacha by quoting his Minhagim so often. The Shla in the Shar Osios Os Kuf also cites a Gemara Nedarim as the source of not citing a source as a lav. The Shla must have had this in his version of the Gemara, in his Nedarim. It is a bit ironic that the Magen Avraham, in a comment about not citing your sources, did not cite his source. But we'll leave that for now. It's not for me to critique the Magen Avraham. It just is a bit ironic that when talking about not citing your sources, he didn't cite his source, which was the Shla. So how do we defend this Gemara Nedarim? Maybe the Shla had a different girsa, but maybe it was something else. Rav Yehuda Bachrach in the Torah Mitzion journal, Shana Tes Choveres Gimel, so he suggests that there are referring to the Gemara Nedarim Daf Ches. Listen to this. The Gemara Nedarim Ches Amar Beis says, Amar Rabbi Shimon Bar Zavid, Amar Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Tavla, Amar Rav Chia Aricha, Debe Rabbi Acha, Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Chanina, Amar Rav Miyasha, Mishmed Rav Yehuda Bar Eli. The B'Shem Omro is 8 names. It's unprecedented in Shas. He goes back 8, I heard 8 times. It's the longest there is in Shas. And that shows the chashivas of quoting your source. I don't need a Gemara to say, don't do this. I just have to read the Gemara and say, oh, obviously you have to quote your sources because they went back 8 steps to get back to the source. Okay. Rav Yitzhak Sternhal was a Rav in Baltimore. He was at Sanzer Chassid who survived the Holocaust and became a well-known Rav in Baltimore after the Holocaust. So in his Shuas Kochvei Yitzchak in Chelek Aleph, he asks why, in fact, the Magen Avraham cites this halacha and the Shulchan Aruch doesn't. Why is the whole point of the Magen Avraham is to quote all the things the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote. Why then would the Shulchan Aruch not quote this, that you should have to cite your sources? So he cites Rabbi Yisachar Dov of Belz, who asked why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring the laws of Lashon Hara. So the Belz Rav said that the punishment for Lashon Hara is very severe. The Shulchan Aruch saw that we can't control our mouths, and Lashon Hara was so rampant, so he said, better not to teach it at all. And as we learned a few weeks ago, Kishem Shemitzvah Lomar Davar Hanishma Kach Mitzvah Shalom Davar Shalom Nishma. Just like you have to know when to speak, sometimes you have to know when to not speak when people are not going to listen. And they didn't want to bring a kitchuk, they didn't want to bring a prosecution on the Jewish people, and therefore they didn't bring the laws of Lashon Hara. So too says Rav Yitzhak Sternhal, that the plagiarizing of Talmidei Chachamim is so rampant that the Mechaber knew that he could not put it in Shulchan Aruch. And then he goes on to list a number of Svarim that were copied from other Svarim, but he only identifies them with Roshei Tevos. He gives you a whole list, a who's who, of famous plagiarizers in Jewish history, but he only gives you Roshei Tevos, so you can't figure out who it is. So I guess we'll never know unless you go and try to break your teeth on it right now. Rav Asher Weiss has said in the past that there's no issur of gezel in taking other people's divrei Torah, but it is a davar maguna. It's considered disgusting. It's a nevela naaseh b'Yisrael. It's considered totally improper and not something that should be done in any form. The Chida in his Bris Olam on the Sefer Chasidim has very, very harsh words about, not coming back in a Gilgal and being punished in terrible ways. Rav Asher has noted that his father-in-law was Rav Yisrael Aryeh Zalmanowitz, who was the Rav of Akko. So in his Sefer Chai Nefesh Chelek Hei, he gives permission for people to take his Torah and use it without his permission. The Av Basin of Papa is quoted in the Imre Vayechi Yosef as citing the Chassam Sofer, who said that I don't mind if you attach their chedushim, my chedushim, in your name, as long as they don't attribute their chedushim to my name, said the Chassam Sofer. Don't just say your poor Divrei Torah in my name. That's all I want. So this is the understanding of Rav Asher Weiss, that it's not necessarily usher, but it's certainly not appropriate. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, and this is really what I think most people think of, is the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos in Perek Vav, that says, Kol Omer Davar B'Shem Omro, Mevi Gula Olam. Whoever cites their sources will bring redemption to the world. Shene Amar, as it says, Vatomer Esther Lamelech B'Shem Mordechai. That Esther went and told the king in the name of Mordechai that Bigson and Teresh were going to try to assassinate him, and essentially that laid the plan eventually where Mordechai would be brought back in and save the day, and Haman would be confused and he would be killed because the king was reading his book at night. And that eventually brought the gula and the fact that Esther didn't cite her in her own name, but rather she quoted the name of Mordechai. So the Imre Emes in his letters, his Michtavei Torah in the 19th letter, has a letter to his son, the Beis Yisrael. And he wonders why there's such a great praise for not stealing from your friends, right? Essentially what we're saying is, if you're not a jerk, you're going to bring the gula. Isn't that what we're saying here, right? We should all understand that the right thing to do is to not take people's Divrei Torah. We understand the negative there, but I should be praised that by not taking my friend's Divrei Torah, I'm going to bring the gula. It's a strange praise. And also, why does the Mishnah Pirkei Avos count this as one of the Mem Ches, the 48 Devarim, Shatorah Niknes Behem, the 48 methods of acquiring the Torah? I don't understand. It's a very specific thing. We happen to be in the period of the Mem Ches Kenyanei Torah, Rav Aaron Cutler, the Bali Musa, right about learning all of them. So why is this part of that list? So in a fascinating way, he suggests that the Gemara in Sanhedrin Pei Tes tells us that when a Navi gets Ruach HaKodesh, all other Nevi'im are aware of that Ruach HaKodesh as well, as we know from the conspiracy of Bigson and Teresh against Achashverosh. Why? Because it says that the matter became known to Mordechai. Now, this could have been known only through Ruach HaKodesh. The only way that Mordechai could have known about what Bigson and Teresh were doing is if he had Ruach HaKodesh. I know the Gemara gives another opinion that he spoke 70 languages, but the first opinion the Gemara says that he was only made aware through Ruach HaKodesh of their plans to assassinate the king. So, if that's the case, if a Navi gets Nevuah, and all other Nevi'im know that Nevuah as well, so who else knew about the plan of Bigson and Teresh? Esther, because Esther was a Nevi'ah. That's what the Gemara says. And she must have also been aware of the assassination attempt on Achashverosh. However, Mordechai only told this information to relate to the king because he was unaware that Esther was a Nevi'ah. And therefore, she could have told Achashverosh herself about the assassination, but instead, Esther was gracious and she relayed the information in the name of Mordechai, thereby setting in motion the events that would bring the gula to the Jewish people. That is the beautiful pshat of the Imre Emes. Now, the mission that the Avos Rabbi Nassim says that a Talmid Chacham must have an ayin tova, a good eye, when dealing with others. We see that being generous of spirit, having an ayin tova, and giving credit where it is due, is part of being kona the Torah. There's no greater ayin tova, says the Imre Emes, than Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what the Gemara Nedarim says, and he was chosen to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, we see being gracious. Esther's meat of being gracious and letting Mordechai go deliver the message. Moshe having the ability to give us the Torah connects Divrei Torah and having Ayin Tov, and just being nice and citing your source and quoting your sources where it is necessary. The Yalkut HaGrishuni, Rav Gershon Stern, writes in his Sefer on Tanakh, and he cites Rav Yeshaya Pick in the introduction to the Damasik Eliezer of Rav Zussman Sofer. And he notes that Chazal tell us that Mashiach sits at the gates of Rome. We also know that Mashiach is called an Ani, who will come in riding on a donkey. That's something that the Christians have appropriated. Now, we are also told that Kaloma Davar B'Shem Omro may be Gulula. So says Rav Yishaya Pick, he puts all three together. The Pasuk says in Mishlei, Al Tigzal Dal Kidalhu, don't rob the weak because he is weak, V'Al Tidkai Ani B'Shar, and don't crush the poor at the gate. If a person steals Divrei Torah, he is postponing the Gula and Mashiach, because the Mashiach is referred to as a Dal and Ani, and where does Mashiach sit, as the Gemara says? At the gates of Rome. And therefore, if you steal Divrei Torah, you're going to prevent Divrei Torah, you're going to prevent Mashiach from coming, because Mashiach is waiting to come, and we are crushing the Ani, the poor Mashiach, by not sharing our Divrei Torah. We'll just end with two or three stories, or cute ideas, or interesting ideas related to this concept. Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung, the great Gaon, in the Eish Pinchas explained that when a person says a Chiddush on his own, then he spends a long time defending his idea with different proofs and logic, right? It's my Chiddush, it's my Mahalach, so I have to defend it with different proofs. However, if you simply say something B'Shem Omro, and you rely on the person who said a certain idea, then you don't usually have to elaborate. L'mashal, right? I could have my own idea in Tanakh, my own idea in Halacha, and then I have to spend time defending my position. What's more simple for me? I could say, the Malbim says this, Rav Moshe Feinstein said this, and no one's going to argue. The Malbim and Rav Moshe Feinstein, who's going to argue with them? No one's going to question that statement. Therefore, says Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung, we see that by simply saying in the name of another person, you'll bring the gula to your listeners, because you'll stop talking so much, and you'll stop bringing so many proofs. So just quote the source, and people will stop questioning you, and it'll get to the end of your drasha. In the Lakute Basra Lakute, he suggests that the rampant plagiarism is the reason why speakers conclude Uval Tzion Goel, or that we should merit to see Mashiach Meher V'Amenu Amen. Why do all the rabbis end by talking about Mashiach? Why, says Lakute Basra Lakute? Because Darshanim often rip off from other people, and they know that they're preventing the Gula with all their drashas that they ripped off and they plagiarize. And therefore they say, you know I just prevented Mashiach from coming because I just stole Divrei Torah, but, you know, Uval Tzion Goel, Mashiach should come here v'yameinu amen, and therefore, you know, it'll counteract what I just did. And the Sefer Zichronim Lebracha, it records that Rav Chaim Kreisworth would joke that there are two things about which Chazal tell us that bring the Gula. The first is being Omer Davar B'Shem Omro, quoting your sources, and the other is the famous Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches, that El Malei Shamu Yisrael Beis Shabbosos Mi'an Galin, that if we would keep two Shabbosos, the Gula would come. Which two Shabbosos is the Gemara referring to? So says Rav Chaim Kreisworth, Noah Shabbosos, Shabbos HaGadol, and Shabbos Shuva. Because the rabbis like to take other people's material and use it for the Shabbos Shuva drasha and the Shabbos HaGadol drasha. And if they would simply cite their sources and not plagiarize on those Shabbosos, then the Gula would come. So, just to conclude, it is important, whether you are a layman and a balabas sharing Divrei Torah, or whether you are a Rav and a Rosh Yeshiva and a Talmid Chacham sharing Divrei Torah, it is always good to cite your sources. You never lose out by citing your source. Because if you don't get caught, then you're going to look foolish. And if you do cite your source, you just look genuine and like you read another book. And it's okay. We don't have to be so embarrassed about not knowing everything. And it's okay to say, I heard this idea from somebody else, I heard this quotation from somebody else, and will help bring the Gula at the end of the day. You know, there are so many digital tools nowadays where people are able to search on Bar Ilan and Google and Otzer HaChachma and to have, you know, sources at their fingertips at the end of the day. And it's important that if a person comes across a source that he never would have found on his own, through his own learning, if you would have known it on your own and gotten to it eventually, then whatever. You don't need to quote every single sefer you ever looked in. But if you found a source that you never would have come into on your own, so you got to say, I found it while searching around, I found it in a sefer over here. It just helps bring the gula at the end of the day. I'll just end with a vort that Rav Shechter likes to say, that the Gemara says that by an Am Haaretz, Eima Shabbos Alav, that the fear of Shabbos is Am Haaretz to make sure he separates Shumas and Maestros. that you don't have to worry that he didn't separate Trumas and Maisos for Shabbos, because the holiness of Shabbos will motivate him to separate them. So Rav Shechter likes to say, in our generation, Eima Shabbos Alav, the fear of Shabbos is on the Am Haaretz. Why? Because on Shabbos, he can't Google or search the answers to his questions to look like he knows everything. And he's afraid because on Shabbos, he won't know what to say or to answer the questions. Because during the week, he can Google and look up on Otzer HaChacham what he needs. But when it comes to Shabbos, he has no way to use these resources and to cheat and to get around. So we should be honest with ourselves, share our sources, and help bring the Gula. B'mheirav Yameinu, Amen.